We talked last night about something that really cuts through a lot of misconceptions about why we're believers. Jesus,
really?
I think somebody check on Ronnie. Huh? You all right?
No gray matter came out of
it. I didn't see any.
Yeah. Jesus did a lot of miracles, did a lot of great things. God did a lot of miracles. God performed 10 incredible plagues that had to be seen as the hand of God. He took his people out of Egypt. Into the wilderness with a mighty hand. He parted the sea. He did incredible things. He fed the people on manna. He gave them water. He provided for them for 40 years. God did all these incredible things. What good did it do them? Only two were saved out of the whole tribe. Only two. What good did it do them? What good did it do the 5,000 that they were fed, that they saw miracles? That people were raised from the dead, that people's wounds were healed and they were made whole. What good did it do them? They still went to the grave. This reality that only Christ is the one who is saved. We can't profit from the miracles. We don't profit. We don't. There's no gain to us in this walk. And if we're looking for a gain, we're in the wrong church. We're in the wrong doctrine, because it's only going to get worse. And it's hard for this thing. It's like a fish out of water. You know, it doesn't want to die. No man wants to die. And even us who sit around and talk about this in very clear terms as much as we can, and agree with it, we don't want to die. The snake in your head will finesse anything. And we'll go along with even this doctrine and pretend so that it doesn't have to die. And there's this incredible place where you really have to reckon what you're dealing with. You have to reckon your real death.
Now, we were talking last night about the horror of great darkness. Mike raised some questions about that, and we talked about that. And it's like, that's every one of us having faced that, what you're describing.
Yeah.
With no way out, and totally, you know, the darkness gets so thick, it's, you know,
terrible.
You feel it.
Yeah. Why has God made it that way? It, you know, and then why do we question Him? He knows what needs to happen. He knows that no flesh can be saved. We're still hoping there's a loophole, like Ola has always said. There's got to be some little niche we can slither through and save our skin. But no, there's not. And we must, and to know God, and we sit around here and proclaim that we want to know Him, and yet we want to get around the very requirements that He has established. There's no way out. But once that's fully reckoned with and fully considered and yielded to, I mean, you're going to die anyway, you know, a little time warp here. But once it's fully settled in you, that's when the freedom takes place. That's when there is joy, because you've dealt with it. You've dealt with the problem. And death is the problem. Separation from life is the problem in whatever way it manifests itself in your world. Whatever you think you're getting life from, and so it's big. It's just the biggest thing that man has to encounter and cope with. And it can only be spiritually discerned. It's like you can't even talk about it in good enough words to get it across. You have to come to real terms with you and God in a quiet place to go through this. And the horror of great darkness, which you know, most people in here have experienced, I assume. Nobody can do that for you. That's a personal place.
You know, this brings back up, you know, this old folk song kind of thing, spiritually, you know, where you've got to walk that lonesome valley.
Yeah.
You've got to walk it by yourself, you know. I was thinking, well, it's kind of a goofy song, yet, but this is what it's really talking about, is this kind of a thing where you don't get the little bridge across the chasm.
Yeah, the old
formed by the cross. You know, you have to go into the descend into
the depths,
and experience your own death, and you know, yeah. So a new thing comes out on the other side.
Yeah, and that new thing has been created and raised by God. And Christ didn't raise Himself up; He waited and remained in the. He remained under. It's a real deep place within every soul that this takes place. And, you know, we do a lot of outward stuff. We do our festivals and we work and we celebrate and we sing and we talk. But within the midst of all this, you have to have some time alone, quiet, to let it sink in. What is it? What is this stuff we're really talking about? And have I've agreed with it with my lips, but have I taken it down into my gut, into my soul, into the deepest part of my being? And do I agree at that point? And you got to entertain that. You got to go there and find out if you really are in agreement, or is this just you giving lip service to something that sounds good and as is the community line. We're in the phase of between Passover and Pentecost, and this is the time of counting the Omer. And we do this every year, and it's time, we're on our sixth day of counting the Omer.
What is the Omer?
A tenth part of an ephah.
Come on, Ronnie.
Nobody knows that.
Jeez. How long have you been here?
Well, no, I don't. I know it's 5 point something.
Flour, meal, wheat, barley flour.
And you're saying, what does this mean to me?
It's not really counting, it's reckoning. What is this trouble you put us to early?
City after meal entertainment.
Yeah. Why do we do this? Why do we count this Omer?
Think about waiting not to ask.
How do you know about this stuff, Mike? This is.
John told me last night.
He's an apt pupil.
Apt pupil.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, to be honest, every year I am totally confused by counting the Omer. It's like, oh God, now we're counting the Omer. We got
it. What happened at Pentecost? Was an offering made unto the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
50 days is the period of preparation.
Yeah. And it's during this period. It's like you don't let up. God doesn't let up. Jews have divided up into 50 days or 49 days of examining and looking at different aspects of yourself. You know, of considering virtues. Are you grateful? Have you considered the beauty of this land? What is your foundation? Do you have a good foundation of faith? It goes through and it examines each one of these things in detail, which is good. But it, like everything else, can be misconstrued. I want to go through some of this, but if we don't go through it with the right point of view, then we end up going through to build up the old man and make him into something, forgetting the whole thing that we're about, which is, you know, it's by the cross of Christ that we are, it's through the cross we are saved, not through the development of our soul power.
It's like the whole exercise is seeing lack in yourself.
Massive. Yeah.
And your response to that is building yourself up. In other words, I've got to address that lack.
I've got to address all the different ones, and they're huge. I mean, they're big, and every one of them seems important. So it's a great religion. I mean, Judaism is an excellent religion. But if you're not careful, it becomes just that. It becomes a religion that you're enticed by. And then Adam is the power of your expression, your soul power.
Interesting that after the effort to remove all 11, it's an exercise in all about leaven.
Creating new leaven, good leaven. Yeah, the right leaven.
You know, we talked about the resurrection last night as happening at the same time when they were offering this omer of the first fruit offering. So the answer to each of these things, you know, the 49 gates of impurity in which, you know, they talk about coming out of, the answer to it is reckoning the cross and the resurrection. You count it. You get up in the morning and you deliberately, you know, say, you know, here's the lack, here's everything that I see that's, you know, that's impurities that need, you know, to be coming out of. But the only way to do that is to reckon yourself dead and reckon him resurrected. And so that's counting the omer.
Yeah.
Acknowledging the omer, and also acknowledging the fact that it's connected to that other, like Harry was saying, that other offering at Pentecost. That there's an indelible connection that can't be broken between the empowerment of that and the resurrection of Christ, the first fruit offering.
I know one of the things that John loves about this is the numerology involved.
Yeah.
It's seven
times seven.
Seven is completion in time. It's 7 days is a complete life.
Right.
It's a complete cycle. And to do that seven times is the completion of the completion.
Mm-hmm.
And then
nearly 49 or
close
to 49.
Seven leaves, seven times.
Yeah.
Getting up and going to the refrigerator and drinking sour milk. Seven times seven. It's going through your lifetime seven times. Each time, more flesh taken away. So if you put your hand in the flower, nothing sticks.
Nothing sticks.
How many times do you have to repeat the same cycle? Seven times seven.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
This is a cool a time as there is if we see it right. That's part of what this is. And it is a purposed counting. It's something that it's easy to forget to do, too. You know, the Omer. We're 6 days into the Omer, and we haven't even mentioned it. And so, but what we're reckoning and what we're seeing is not ourselves getting better, but we are dead in Christ, and we see him at each point. And as the leaven is destroyed each time, the only thing we see is him. That's why the predicate has to be reckoning yourself dead. Because if you don't reckon yourself dead, then you hear this stuff and you reckon it accruing to, hey, this is going to make me a better person. And I will then enjoy life and be more successful.
Remember that Burt Reynolds movie, The End, where he's drowning and he makes a deal with God and, you know, I'll give you everything. He starts swimming and he starts making progress and he's, well, I'll give you 90%. And by the time he gets back, he's back to his life. Don't you know, Israel, as soon as they came up on the other side of the Red Sea,
Yeah.
As soon as the party was over and they sang the song, everybody set about reestablishing their own lives.
Getting it together.
That's what we do. We did it Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Sunday night, Monday morning. We've already gone back to our lives.
Right back to the... Mm.
And this is...
Yeah.
Grinding it. And 7 times 7.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Continual plowing.
Yeah. Keeping that...
Keeping 11 hours.
I like that numerology stuff. But
I thought you would. Yeah.
It's the numbers that are...
I figured as well.
They get in the way.
Significance of the numbers.
Well, that's all I have to say about that. Let's,
Well, it's over, thank you. It seems like this is the first time I heard it. But,
that's why we do these every year.
Yeah.
Because like, everybody's always popping up, you know, hearing things for the first time. You know? So like, what if we only did them once?
Did we do this last
year? Yeah.
Yeah. The important part of this is, you know, Passover was a blast. You know, it was like a boom, you know, an explosion. And now what? You know, are we left with nothing until kaboom, another Pentecost? Yeah. This is the day-to-day grind, the day after 49 days. Yeah. Well, this is the long-term process.
And part of what's so cool is, it's the same feast. It's not
right.
Two different feasts.
Right.
There's this rising and sleeping in between, but it's the same.
It's the same, and it's not one is not complete without the other. The giving of the law and the giving of the Spirit.
There's a lot to see there.
Yeah.
Birth, death, and everything in between.
Yeah. So this time now that we're in is more fruitful than just an experience. An experience. Now it's we gut it out, we see it, and now it becomes part of our continued activity of life, not just a hardworking thing. So God has not forsaken us during this time. And yeah, and we're abiding, hopefully with understanding. Just hanging out, abiding is, yeah. But if you abide with understanding and get and deal with the boredom sometimes or deal with the excitement and see that those aren't either one meaningful. You know, they're just titillation or lack of. But it's the steadiness. Got the crowd going there, didn't I? Okay.